So, hello! Welcome to Shapeshifts, Session Zero for Book of Summer. It's me, it's Amber, and with me I have returning players for this second season, Brandon.
Hello.
Kristen.
Hello.
Chris.
Hi.
And my brother, John.
Was it really hard not to say Book of Spring? Because it kind of sounded like...
I have been saying Book of Spring a lot. Let's do Session Zero, Book of Spring. Wait, I mean, Book of Summer. Book of
Summer.
Book of Summer. Summer, 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 summer. So today, we are just going to talk about kind of your guys' ideas for characters. If you have them fully fleshed out, or if you don't, that's fine. We can talk about it. And we just did our Q&A not too long ago. Real time, 30 minutes ago. Air time, who knows. But we're talking about what Book of Summer is going to be like. And I think all of you have chosen to do brand new characters, correct?
I have.
Yes.
Yes.
I almost called you Arthur.
Oh.
Brandon.
Yes.
Wow. All new
character.
All new characters. Okay, so...
I mean, I called Chris Babu earlier,
yeah.
So...
Yeah. And I also get to make a new Ryujin.
But you're not married to Chris.
That's true. Yeah, I just play Arthur at home.
Okay, so I also get to make a Ryujin as well. And since we're doing Book of Summer, we're going to focus on summer stories.
Who's going to be a hateful Ryujin this time?
No.
Angry little elf.
It'll happen, though.
Which is the, I believe, the book of Screen Dragon. So it's the Azure Dragon. Is this Ryujin will be. The keywords for summer are the human heart, love, youth, heartwarming tales, healing, communication, human drama, friendship, children, boys and girls, family, siblings, teachers, and pupils. Am I right? This is right.
I thought it was...
Yes, like, and animals.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like relationships and stuff.
Yep,
but
it is.
Human heart. Okay.
Feels like it's something.
Communication, drama.
Yeah, well, boy, have I got a character for you.
Oh, boy. So I haven't really thought about my Ryujin at all. So let's go around. Let me give you your thoughts. I want to hear.
Panic decision.
I just slammed in all my days. Samurai dog. Samurai Shiba Inu. And he's an attack noble type.
Okay. I thought we also decided that we are going to start at level 4 for this.
Level 4?
Level 4. Okay. It's level 4.
Oh, level 4 is the 4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll have to math this out later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Basically, start level 1 and then 3 level up.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a name for your Shiba Inu?
Musashi.
I am.
How do you spell that?
Musashi?
Musashi.
Musashi. Got it.
There you go.
Musashi.
And have you already thought about... We're still on loam. Have you thought about what village he's from?
No. I'll have to make some stuff up.
Definitely not from the Flavor Village.
No, he's not from
Roba.
Or the Hidden Flavor Town or whatever.
Because unlike the pugs who usually group together and stay together, the Shiba Inu is kind of like spread out. Instead of being like creating their own culture, they actually like to live in servitude and like as like loyal guard dogs.
Oh,
for
yeah,
people.
Yeah, sure.
So he's like, he comes from this line of guard dogs for a family, more or less, like
sure.
a noble family. And that's why he's nobility also through his... He's, service towards this noble family, he is considered a noble guard dog for them. And
so right now...
I'm trying to think of a place where he could have been at.
In canon right now, the two places that we know that have a lot of noble families are Dragon Song and Silvertop.
I'll say he's from Dragon Song then.
Okay. Do you have an idea of like what the family was that he served? Because you have the Drakes, which is the one main noble family in... One of the main noble families in Dragon Song.
I want to say that the family he serves probably has a lot of influence with Rhapsody Rhodes. So maybe some kind of, they have some kind of connection with Rhapsody Rhodes in a way.
Okay.
Whether they be like an investor in helping keeping their business afloat, I suppose, or like the idea of the business afloat, or like they're a benefactor. What am I thinking of? Is that right?
Yeah, kind of like a sponsor.
Mm-hmm. A sponsor, there you go. They probably do a lot of trading services and whatnot. So like, if as a sponsor, they probably actually have people actually collect things for them that are rare, and then they can actually ship that out and sell it and trade it for other things.
Like a noble merchant family?
Yeah, exactly.
What son are you? Like, son. Like third, fourth, ninth?
Dad? I am, yeah, I'm third generation.
Okay.
Okay, kind of. What kind of personality are you thinking he is?
He
pretty...
is hot-headed.
Okay.
But also, that's contradictory to be hot-headed, but he's a trained bodyguard. He's just like, it's easy to bully him, more or less. And like, yeah, he gets like really upset when people bully him and stuff. And but otherwise, he's a very...
Is it easy to pull rank on him?
No, like, unless it's that family, then he's like, you can't gotcha. Be, it's like, he's very loyal to the family and that's kind of like their whole thing. It's not easy to pull rank on him, I suppose you could say. I guess it depends on his level of respect for a person, I suppose. Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting because I wanted to play this character because Jake was very naive and open to the world already. And he was like, he was open, but he was not. He was just experiencing it the first time. This character is kind of going to be more like closed to the world, but then opening up is what I imagine as his character growth, because I even have his reason for his journey.
Oh, yes. I was the next question I was going
to
say.
As far as personality, I guess I'll have to think about that a little bit more. But just, he's more of a warrior type.
Okay.
And he's very, you know,
so
almost no nonsense.
Yeah. So reserves, kind of stoic is what you're going for.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was going for. His reason for his journey is that being a third generation, I think he was on the tail end of his last owner's life. So like their dying wish was for Musashi to see the world. Cause like Musashi's only experience is just like this
very close
being bodyguard and just staying in certain areas in proximity and to not really experience things so much as just to like protect and just like he wants, like, his owner's dying wish was, I imagine, like they had like this really close bond, even though it was just like a bodyguard and boss kind of relationship, but they bonded at some point. And it's just like, he's like, I don't want you to just think of just like everything's a danger or you don't need to keep assessing threats. I want you to experience the world. He doesn't know how to convey this to Musashi. So he's like, my final order is to explore the world.
Yeah.
Or like to, you know, just go out there and journey to certain, go out there and do something. So sure.
Have you thought about like a personal item that he carries around?
No, I haven't thought about that.
That's
far.
Fine. We can always come back to you if you think about it.
An eye patch?
Your owner's eye patch?
That'd be an accessory. Says an item carry around, it's more like a keepsake kind of item. And
something that it means something to you.
Right.
Something that is like...
It's so dumb. It's like a ball. A ball. It is the ball that he played with his... It wasn't just a ball like to play catch. It was like a training device. Mm-hmm. A training device to train his reflexes and enable the... catch things.
Some Jedi shit.
Yeah. I was thinking the little Jedi force ball that like beep beep.
I like to think he's so reserved in public, but like when he's like by himself, pull the ball and play with it by himself and then put it away like no one sees it.
Oh yeah.
Totally. For training.
He's like a service dog, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's still a dog.
All right, cool. That's awesome.
I'm gonna play Pico, a cat thief. He's a very kind of scrawny trash cat. He's looking out for himself. He doesn't really trust others. He's really slow to open up. I want to approach him to be kind of silly and like that kind of emo of just we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, we have like a team of tsundere characters.
I think it'll be along those lines, but he doesn't really know his place in the world because he can't remember past a certain point. So his reasons for traveling is to recover memories.
Oh, recover memories.
And since he doesn't really know where he belongs in the world, he's just going to keep going to different places until one kind of sparks.
Okay.
I think before his memories, he was one of the bandits that attacked Arthur's first party.
No.
So there's some linkage there, but he doesn't really know that he's that type of person. So
did Arthur beat the shit out of him?
I think the other people in his party probably beat the shit off.
The other bandits?
Maybe.
Or the other people in
the other people in his party, probably. Okay. Like, I don't remember what I said happened in the first party. I don't think Arthur did anything. But it was...
No,
it definitely
traumatized
somebody
else died
them.
To protect him. So yeah. He probably didn't do much.
So Arthur was probably the target of the Pico. So
it seems like Pico will... Does Pico still have these thieving tendencies?
Oh, yeah. Because he needs to look out for himself, and he's... doesn't really have that place in the world, so he's just taking what he can get just to survive, and he's not really thinking of other people. So
gotcha. he's, what did you say he looks like? I mean, he's a skinny trash cat, but like, what's his coloring?
Let's make him a calico.
Calico.
Just a bunch of colors.
That's rare for a male, actually.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he's
I think
very
it's only
type.
Like 3% yeah. of calicos are
yeah.
male.
No. Yeah. Maybe you're special.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And you said Musashi is what kind of Shiba Inu? Like, what's his coloring?
His coloring is just like a black and white.
Have you thought about your personal item?
I was thinking about a ribbon with some sort of pattern on it that he just does not recognize. But it's kind of, you know, it's potentially a clue to its past.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll just wear that ribbon in, you know, all kinds of ways. It might pop up on his items. He'll just take it off and put it on stuff all the time.
Okay, for human age equivalent, how old is he? To like lose his memories, so he'd be like 20.
Yeah, I would probably say like 20 even.
And
like,
you're
he's a young kid.
Musashi is 40.
I want to
like human age equivalent.
I want to say he's, as far as human age, yeah, he's probably about late 30s.
Okay. Awesome. I'm trying to think if there's any other question I should ask. I guess, so you want to see the world.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was his. You want to see the world because that's his last owners. You're looking to recover your memories.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, yeah, but...
Personality type.
Just the tsundere kind of type of not trusting and slow to open up.
Oh, wow.
But even when you like someone, you have to be prickly.
Yeah.
Because you got to protect yourself.
Yeah,
because
that could still end up
I'll
hurting.
I'll give you this healing eye, but not because I like you.
Because you need it.
It's because you need it. And I need you to be in tip-top shape so you can help me with my stuff. Not because I like you or anything.
So, and gameplay-wise, I'll probably come up with some abilities because there's no thief class.
Yeah, yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, and I'll go to that later, but he's an archer, so that's his main form of protecting himself and getting stuff is just got his bow.
Gotcha.
He has a little trash short bow. But yeah, I think that would be kind of his shtick is just in garbage and things made of garbage. He's very scrappy kind of.
Scrappy.
Abraham DeLacy.
Giuseppe Casey. Thomas O'Malley. O'Malley the Alley. Okay, scrap master.
Because you know how like goblins are scrappy and they're putting trash together? That's probably how he is too.
Okay, so he's a cat goblin. He's a Neko goblin.
Oh. You know. I could do that, but I also want him to be related to Paco and his group.
Yeah, gotcha. I get you. The Dewind family.
Yeah.
Chris or Kristen? Chris looks like he's like, I don't know.
Well, I'm still Googling boar things. Give me a sec.
Okay. Kristen, I'm ready. Are you?
Kinda. I mean, my first ideas were a noble with a bow, so we already have some duplication here.
It's not that bad.
That's okay. But, I mean, I can change mine to like crossbow or something like that.
Just to specify, nobody's picking magic of any sort.
I'm not sure.
Okay. It's okay if you don't. I don't have a problem with it. I just am curious.
I'm not taking magic.
No magic. Okay. I'm not playing a magic character.
Awesome. No magic.
Okay.
No
that's
magic.
Cool because I wasn't, I had not settled on that. So I will definitely take it if nobody else will.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, you will play? You want to
take
magic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Magic's fun.
I would have loved to have a whole no magic party where we're just like, we counter magic. We're like, I don't know what the fuck this is.
Yeah, I just do nothing but magic for you guys.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know this.
I mean, I could take it as a second type later on. If we end up
what
needing
what time do we
magic.
Get a second type? That's a level what?
Like five or six?
Five?
Oh, yeah, that is before the second class, isn't it?
I would like to make a recommendation.
Yes.
That we do not do XP. We do milestone.
Well, here's the thing. The reason why you guys XP'd up so much last time, it's just because of that lantern,
right.
That I had,
right.
But we can.
You think it's going to be it'll drag on a little more this time?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay. You guys were getting like a lot of XP, so
I like leveling quickly, but I also didn't like leveling quickly because there's only 10 levels.
Yeah, I know. So what Chris is saying by milestone is basically when you guys achieve basically a party goal, then you just level up. Or you overcome something that is...
Like, we completed an arc in Bluefield, we would have leveled up.
Yeah,
or do the party at Storm Ridge, Stormbrook. Brook, thank you. Level up, that kind of thing.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about that? Would you prefer milestone versus actual XP?
It's hard to say because I don't really know how quickly we would be leveling up.
You guys leveled up like 3 times in Bluefield alone.
Yeah, but, you know, that was a...
That we were
the benediction,
yeah,
and those first levels go quick,
yeah.
Okay. How about this? We'll try doing XP to begin with.
Yeah.
If it seems like
it's
not
too long
or it doesn't make sense, like you hit a milestone and you didn't level up, then we'll just do milestone because we'll see. Because I've not played the system enough to know, what? Especially without that
yeah.
lantern.
So okay, sorry. For just for knowledge, the next level is going to be extra class. So if there's something that you're leaning towards, you'll get it soon.
Oh, okay.
And then the extra type is level 6. So we're close to both of those. And starting at level 4, we're going to have 2 stat increases and a status effect immunity and a terrain weather specialty. So we'll start off with a decent amount of stuff.
Okay, so Kristen, you're doing something magic.
Do you want to yeah. think about it a little while I do my spiel?
If you're ready, go ahead.
I'm ready-ish.
All right.
Hi.
Hello.
I am going to be playing Francis, the... I'm having trouble settling on a class, but my character idea is that he is a young boar man. Who, he's a super sweet, ridiculously strong boy who was born, most of his boar clan, like his sires and all that, they are the normal four-legged boars. Mm-hmm. But every, like... once a generation or something like that. Like, there's a bipedal boar.
A mutation?
Like a mutant, basically. Okay. Who is born and has to go interact with the human world. Mm. And it's kind of like a spiritual thing. Mm. So he's big, brawny, raised by a bunch of feral pigmen. He has to go be the ambassador to humanity and the...
learn about the what's going on in the world and yes. bring it back and like share maybe with his
and try and yeah he basically right now he's just trying to prove himself that he's not a complete waste of space. Well, because like he can't run as fast as the other boars, he can't like forage as well,
yeah,
he's got to walk on 2 legs, like he can't do the truffle shunt or yeah. You know,
I think it's interesting because it's like every once in a great generation, a bipedal boar man is boar. And like, there's like some of the clan who like understands and gets it. Like, this is a thing to be celebrated because you get to go out, but there's some other ones who are going to be making fun of him.
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah. So my thought is that the boars are, I mean, they're sentient, just they don't give a shit about civilization at all.
Yeah.
They'd like, they just want to run wild and like live their best life and break shit. And I had an idea that there's like a boar god who every generation he makes a special litter that, you know, has to go out and like convince the humans to not murder us all. That kind of thing.
Okay. Francis, the young boar man.
Wow. What if there was just a cow ambassador that just came to humankind and is like, hey, stop eating cows.
Stop.
Please don't. Maybe we can come to some agreement, but to stop. Okay. Personality type.
So... He has no idea what's going on with like this human world. Like, I think before he got into town, he didn't know like what clothes were and that he was supposed to wear underwear and stuff like that. So he's kind of naive.
He said he's sweet.
But he's sweet. Like he's freakishly strong, but he doesn't really like recognize that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like he doesn't recognize the fact that he's like a 400-pound mass of muscle and gristle. And yeah. So like, oh, I wonder what a tea shop is. That sounds fun. Let's go do that. And he'll like try and sit at like one of the chairs and it just completely collapses on him.
Oh, like I see him like sweet and like he tries hard, but he doesn't like he's just not getting things. And like,
yeah, he's not stupid. He just like stupid.
No.
But it doesn't take that long for boars to mature.
Yeah.
But in my mind, he's not grown.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, he's still growing.
Yeah.
Like, since he entered the human world, like, you know, like 2 months ago or something yeah. like that. Like, he's already grown, like, 6 inches or something like that.
I like to imagine he breaks a chair and he's like, sorry, I can fix it.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, sweat drops over around his head. Okay.
But he's not ill-natured or anything. He does want to prove himself a little bit.
Gotcha.
That he's worthy of this honor of being the boar ambassador, I guess is that the best word for it?
I guess so.
It's a lot of weight for, you know, a
yeah
that kind of character.
Mm-hmm. His family does not know how to help him with this.
It's like the parents who like were not prepared. Like they were so like
yeah.
ready for their boar child and they got a boar man child.
Well, he has like 6 brothers and sisters from just his litter.
Yeah.
And then every year there's like six more, seven more, or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's got this massive family, and he's the only one that's like...
So where is this, like, is it just like in the deep wood?
I don't know if it's in the deep wood. They have a fairly wide area that they range.
Okay.
They don't own it. So yeah. It's like they kind of migrate around following food and whatever. So this past season, when it was spring, but it wasn't a very fruitful spring, there were monsters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if he was born maybe even during that season.
Okay.
He's probably like not even a full year old, maybe. Because he's still growing.
So you would say like he's actually like in human years, like 12?
Oh, yeah.
He's like he's getting his first Pokemon kind of leaving the house at 10.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because he's so big and like people just treat him like an adult.
He's the size of a grown ass man.
Two grown ass men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't have like a human face. Like he doesn't have emote like a human does.
Yeah.
It's just it's basically like he's got the big long
snout
and the tusks. He's got little baby nubbin tusks
because
they haven't grown very far.
Nubbins. Yeah.
So like to a human, it's like I have no idea how old he is.
Sure.
But he's got this really like light brown coat that's kind of like the color of this sort of coaster.
Does he still have his little stripes?
So cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got black stripes on his eyes.
Is he like one of those kids that just has been given way too much responsibility for his age?
I watched a video of a rugby game. I mean, it wasn't the whole thing. It was like an elementary school rugby game.
Oh, God.
And there was one kid who was like 5'10". And he was like, I mean, he was a massive kid for like a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And so he was like playing rugby and he just grabbed the ball. They just like the whole strategy was give him the ball and just let him walk through people. Francis is kind of like that.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Reminds me of when I was in soccer youth league, it was mixed gender. And we were of that age where girls grew up faster than boys.
Right.
So the one girl on our team, our team picture, the girl was just towering over everybody.
Awesome. Did you have a type or class that you've decided upon yet?
I don't really. I mean, type is going to be attack.
Okay.
Because that's what he's good at.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like a character, the class that would fit your character. And the only thing I can think of is like hunter or...
I like the ability of farmer where you get the condition check bonus. Because I think that kind of fits how hardy and tough he is.
Yeah. Do you want to come up with a different name for farmer and like
maybe, but then again I don't give a shit about the raising animals part.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have livestock.
Right, that's what I'm saying, we could probably switch out and think of our own ability thing.
I'll think about it a little bit while we're going through.
Sure.
Maybe there's
you could be a hunter.
Nah. I could be, but that seems a little on the nose.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm trying to think of like other character classes I know of.
What was that boar meme that was going around a couple months ago? Something about helicopters and...
I don't remember.
I just keep thinking about that.
You're a pilot.
Anyhow, does that all make...
Yeah,
That makes a cohesive character sense?
Yeah, yeah. I think the only thing I need now is a personal item. Do you even have personal items? Does your culture even...
No, I mean...
Really... I'm sure acquiring items is like a new thing for you. Like,
right.
I like this thing... I can buy it. It's mine. What is that?
How much money does this get?
It's like a bunch of
what do
nuts.
I get for this money?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he has one. If it does, it's something like...
Like a baby bib?
Yeah, something like that. Know, like
a kerchief or something.
It'd be kind of... I kind of thought... Honestly, I thought like a bib.
Okay, that works.
Like...
Maybe it's like your mom found like a cloth in the forest and she used to use it to like wipe your mouth or something. I don't know. And it's just something that you've had or something that you slept with.
Oh, yeah. He's got a Lala.
A what?
It's a blanket. It was what I called my blanket when I was a little kid. But no, I like the idea that like we ran past like an abandoned like cottage or something.
Yeah.
And then Francis was like, I'm going to go check that out.
I have hands to open this door.
I can open this door. And then there was, like, almost pristine, this child's blanket.
Oh, yeah, it's cute.
Mm-hmm. So he keeps it with him.
Aw. You guys got a baby in your group. Well, not quite a baby.
But,
a very large baby.
We gotta keep...
We're talking spirited away, baby.
Yeah. You gotta keep in mind, boars do mature pretty quick.
Yeah.
So
after your first milestone, your stripes
he'll
are gone.
Be 25 at the end of the yeah. season.
Okay, Kristen.
Yes.
We got magic. This is what I've got written down so far.
Okay. since everybody else is an animal, I'm going to go ahead and be a wolf.
Oh, yeah. Animal party.
So he's like gray and he has a like very severe patterning on his face, like salt and pepper kind of.
Nice.
He's a journalist. Like he looks very refined. And part of it is, I think, because he's a wolf, so people don't trust him. Mm. So he just kind of leaned into it and was like, all right, so I'm just going to openly ask everyone questions.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So that's kind of why I was leaning toward noble, because of the etiquette, refined education. Minstrel, I guess, would also work with well-traveled knowledge of tradition.
Yeah.
But then in both of them, like that third one, I would want to
replace with something else.
Yeah. I'm not sure what, though.
I think minstrel probably fits better just because of the story aspect, since he's a journalist.
Okay.
That's a good twist on that. Like, maybe that's another instance where you can mix and match some abilities.
Because, like, if you think about a bard, too, who goes around, collects stories, retells stories, mm-hmm. that kind of fits under minstrel. But we could actually make a journal. Like, I don't know if we could make a journalist class, but I would say it fits under that category.
Right.
And we could just swap out. What's the one in the minstrel that is...
Music is the last one.
Oh, yeah.
Which adds one to the party's role.
It could be, like, inspiration instead of music. And so bards can do, like, you could do it several ways. I think in D&D, and Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong, bardic inspiration doesn't necessarily mean music you're singing. It can, obviously, but I think it also be...
You can do tell stories.
You can basically do lore. Because, like, there's a bardic thing that's also, like, you can know monsters and stuff. Yeah. And you can, like, impart that wisdom on...
Bardic knowledge.
It's bardic knowledge.
That would make sense. Because as a journalist, you have the information. And for that role, you just give it out to all of us and we fight this...
Was there one that was knowledge tradition, though?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say inspiration would probably be the other one. And we can treat knowledge tradition kind of like bardic knowledge. Cool. So I'll have to figure out reflavor inspiration.
Yeah, I'll take a look at those and see if there's something else...
And a good way to start is to look at D&D skills.
Yeah.
And then we can
okay.
make it Ryutama.
Sure.
Ryutamaize it. Okay, cool. It's a journalist. So he's pretty straightforward. Is this kind of personality mm-hmm. type?
I think he's wearing a suit.
Nice.
That would be a light suit.
Yeah.
Like a light gray plaid. Even though he's already gray, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh. He likes gray.
And for some reason, I see him with like fuchsia socks. But everything else is gray.
So letting a little bit of flare out.
Sure.
Okay, cool. So where is he from?
Some kind of cold forest, I guess somewhere up north. I keep thinking about that lighthouse, mm-hmm. and I think he's probably pretty curious about that. Like, here's a history that needs to be recorded.
Sure.
That's maybe also part of how he got into journalisming.
So maybe, like, he's even, like, further above, maybe, like, he's up from, the northeast area.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I could easily see that forest extending into more of an evergreen kind of cold place.
I think the next question I usually ask is, we said personality type is straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Reason for travel?
Yeah, thank you. Reason for travel. Like, why is he out here right now? I mean, you said the lighthouse, but is there more to his journalism than just...
I will have to think about that. I don't know if it will be another specific story that he's chasing down, or if he's maybe just looking for the next big, like, what's the story of the day?
Yeah. Does he do anything with publishing? Like, does he send his stories into...
Why not? Maybe he makes, like, zines and leaves them at fucking...
Rhapsody Roads,
yeah.
Oh my god, please think of zine names.
You could do something with tracks of, like... Because you're a wolf, mm-hmm. wolf tracks, but it's the TRACTS.
Nice. Oh, God, that's good.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Did you
it's
have
like
a name?
Chick Tracks, but better.
I was just saying.
Yeah.
Tracks,
yeah. Well, what's your character's? Do you have a name for him?
No. I mean, like, you know who I'm going for. So I was kind of like, Mika? That's kind of on the nose. And then I went Nico, but you're Pico. So I don't know.
Nico and Pico. I'm not sure.
Because you're basing this off of a person, right? Yes. Yeah.
Who are you basing it off of?
Michael Barbaro.
Oh, right. Yes.
Right. Hence the severe patterning on his face. Have you ever seen a picture of him?
I have not. No.
Dude, he looks crazy.
You could go with Barbaro.
Bark. Barrow.
Oh no.
Bark Barrow. My original character name was going to be Francwine.
I would have loved that.
I think I would have gotten tired of it.
No, probably.
Yeah, if you're basing it off him, just go with like Michael. I have no idea who Michael Barbaro is. I have to look this up.
Wolf or Cronkite.
Oh my god. What would you say his like age, human age is?
He's middle-aged.
Okay. I put you down as 45.
Sure.
Light suit, fuchsia, light gray suit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of stories is he? Like, what kind of, like, is there a certain type that he typically is, like, when he goes for stories that he's drawn to?
I think he is very interested in the human drama, like, what is affecting people and, I guess, what is hurting people and what can be done to help them.
Cool. You're also going to be teamed up with a group of people who obviously have a lot of baggage.
I got a lot of notebooks.
I love this group already. You got this sweet boy, then the two Sundaria characters, and then the wolf who's like, what's your problem? Tell me more about it. Yeah. Let's work through it.
My plan when you guys get real Sundari, is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Just be completely oblivious.
That's the best
way.
Take
everything that they say at face
value. Yeah.
Yep. I also like that we have two prey animals and two predators.
It always ends up half and half, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wait.
I'm not sure.
Dogs aren't prey animals.
They're predators.
Are you a cat?
Yeah.
So you're a predator.
Well, I mean, compared to a wolf.
Kind of all offensive creatures, aren't we?
Yeah. I guess that's true.
Y'all are fucking predators except for me.
Boars are fucking aggressive.
Boars will fuck you up.
They are aggressive, but they're not predators.
They'll eat anything,
but they don't, like, hunt.
They hunt for truffles?
They're like scavengers.
I mean, if you want to be really specific, everything's a predator. When you think about it, like, everything has to hunt, even if it's just saying.
Oh, I hope you write. I hope you make up good headlines for stories. I won't hold you to it.
I've been working on this voice, I'm telling you.
Okay. I won't hold you to making up stories, but I really love this idea of the tracks being left behind Rhapsody Roads and stuff. Oh, that's so good. I love it.
Yeah.
So I imagine you've been like, he's been around because he's left enough tracks around that people have probably been reading them.
Yeah, I was going to just say, I don't know if Musashi would be considered,
man.
I'm not sure if he's Sundari so much as it's like, his whole life's been around the job and doing stuff for himself is like,
I think you're just more reserved.
More reserved.
I think Pico's the true Sundari of the bunch where he's like, I love you. I don't know how to be friends with you.
I don't understand these feelings.
And then
it's just from his noble background where things are not done in a proper way, it kind of irritates him a little bit, but he's like, okay, whatever, sure.
Yeah, I get you.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, awesome. Yay, these characters are so great.
I got this pig baby.
I still need to come up with a name.
This pig baby and this thief cat, and I'm just like, yeah, this is going to be pretty funny.
I was looking it up, and the main predators of wild boar are packs of wolves, dogs, and then big cats like tigers, panthers. And then bears.
You poor sweet boy.
You poor naive boy.
Is there
the drama?
Yeah.
You wake up in the night and then Pico's like gnawing on your leg.
I don't know why.
Just
tastes so good.
Real quickly, like now when I made Jake, I want to say the first anthropomorphic character in this whole scenario. Like, I had the idea that he was a proportionate pug, but just like with human limbs, so he was still kind of short. I had imagined the same thing for my Shiba Inu. Is everybody else the same kind of way? Like, where it's
wolves are big as fuck, and I think I'm going to keep with it.
Okay, they're just proportionate, but just like they somehow have human limbs. Or
so
whatever.
I think if your like character stood up, like would be like 6 feet tall, essentially.
At least
I'm basing my character off of East Asian boars, which can be up to 700 pounds, especially back in the older days, can be like 48 inches at the shoulder.
So
like standing, he's like 8 feet tall or
something.
Right, that's kind of how I'm feeling about like wolves are bigger than you think they are.
Yeah.
Wolves are big motherfuckers.
I'm small samurai.
Yeah. So
you are.
So you would be like a 4 foot tall dog.
Yeah.
Because the Shiba Inus are medium-ish size. Yeah. And then
Pico's small and scrappy.
Are you thinking like 3 feet tall?
Lynx?
Maybe like around the, as tall as Jake was, maybe a little bit smaller, and then skinny. Like, Jake was pretty robust.
Mm-hmm.
He got pretty beefy after a certain point.
Yeah, he got abs.
And Pico's going to be all dexterity and no strength. So that's kind of how his physical appearance looks.
Yeah, so scrawny.
Yeah.
Wow. Like 8 foot like, boar, 6 foot wolf, 4 foot dog, and a 3 foot cat.
Like, I could see Pico getting tired and riding on top of Francis.
Yeah.
Get your blanket Lala. And
oh, yeah. No, like, I don't even
tie,
have
tie like a scarf.
Yeah, I don't even have like a backpack. I'm just dragging it. I'm not even dragging it. I'm just like swaddling it.
Okay, so I have my Ryujin that I have to make so you guys can know what this Ryujin's going to be about. I haven't picked a name or anything for them. I don't think I picked Parnol for last one. You guys did not know that. She's going to be another. Oh, no, I'll make a boy character.
We're going to bunch of bros, I guess.
Azure. We're going to fight toxic masculinity. That's what we're doing with this game. Azure.
I don't hate it.
It puts another spin on Wolfram Alpha.
What? Did you come up with a name?
No, I was just looking at wolf names from ilovewerewolves.com, and there's just a big list of names, and that was just one of them that was listed.
Something Wolfram. It's a very Scandinavian.
There is an Ulfrid.
Mm-hmm. Ulfric, yeah.
Yeah, Swedish. Wolf-like, courageous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to look through this list. A lot of these are on the nose because there's one that's just old common.
I mean, that's, I think, what we're going for.
Yeah.
Man, names is hard. I'm going to make...
Well, and Ulfrid means wolf of peace. Let's do
aww,
it.
Ulfrid? That's really cute.
Aww.
Ulfrid.
Ulfrid?
Alfred and Ulfrid. Wait, you're Arthur.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Ulfrid.
Ulfrid.
I like it.
Okay. Human drama.
None of us are human.
Yeah, I was trying to
say,
think of
drama.
Individual sentient being drama.
Mm-hmm. And then lives by the beach in abandoned sandcastles. Personality is going to be spirited. And I think, I wouldn't say, I'm going to put meddling.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Spirited, meddling, and I'm going to say, like, they like funny stuff, so they're comedic.
This, yeah, already feels like a much different game,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
And then I think, okay, so I get to pick an artifact. I have a crystal. A crystal which reveals the fate of travelers. All the PCs can survive damage that reduces them as far as negative 20 HP. They will not die until their HP reaches negative 21.
No,
whoa.
Ring. A ring that guides the travelers, reveals their bonds, and ties their chains of fate. This artifact determines in the setting that all the PCs are relative students or disciples. So we're not going to say you're all relatives or students or disciples unless we want you guys met up someplace to...
That'd be a really messed up family tree.
Yeah. Mascot. A mascot that watches over the travelers. The Ryujin can accompany the travelers and their shape change form.
That'd be
yes!
Funny.
I'm going to do mascot.
That's very, like, trickster fox kind of
yeah,
Loki.
Yeah, it's going to be a fox. No, I don't know. No, I haven't picked an alternate form yet.
God.
Yeah, something. Oh, I don't know about that.
Immediately trampled.
Yeah.
By all of us.
Okay. So last season, she did not, my character Parnell did not show up a lot. In fact, only usually just very, just briefly, just to intercede a little bit, showed her form very rarely. I'm going to try and push it a little bit in this situation.
I think that would be fun.
I just had this thought of, like, the dragon would step in and help us, and I feel like this one would step in and fuck shit up.
Yeah, cause problems
yes,
to see what happens.
100%.
Yeah.
A single gray wolf can kill up to 80 boar in a single year.
Dang. Well,
you're terrifying. Of different ages. It doesn't, like, not always full grown. I'm sorry. I'm distracted.
That's fine.
It.
You're fine. You're
is
fine.
Your whole purpose not, of this to prevent, you know, Ulfrid from finding out
that's,
about.
That's not your bad. Family? That's not too bad because, like, think about it. There's 365 days in a year. That it could be higher than, you know, that's like 80 out of 365.
One boar every 4 days.
That's not bad.
For one wolf.
For a big ass wolf, you gotta eat, man.
That means that there's like...
Also, a 110-pound boar needs to eat about 4,500 calories a day.
That's a lot of truffles.
So I'm trying to think. I think Francis is constantly eating.
That'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
It's always bulk season.
That's what it is for herbivores. Like, that's what you do yeah, all day.
Let's see if I can get my point across here. It's, let's see. Do my math.
You're still trying to make me feel better about the wolf.
Yeah, I'm trying to make you feel. Oh, God, my math is so bad right now.
Tell him, my wolf is chill. He just wants to know about you.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, that's how you get in.
You don't have five. That. You don't, your character Francis doesn't have. Well, maybe he does.
I know about fucking wolves. I used to have 13 siblings. Now I only have 4.
Okay, so let's put it this way, right? 80 boars in a year. You know, that's like, if it was like a boar a day, then it'd be like, you know, 365 boars. But that's, if that were the case, then there's still 285 boars that survived because he only ate 80 that year.
I will go as far as to say one of the only things that Francis knows is predators.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, I think my region's name is Suma.
Suma?
Suma. Suma, because it means born in summer.
So it's Suma. Like saying summer with a slang.
Summer. Summer.
It's summertime.
Summertime. All right. And so I don't get to do benediction yet until after the first session. So we'll worry about that later. All right. But some of the benedictions, in at least the starting ones for the Azure, just to let you guys know, is Tale of Kindness. PCs who help others expecting no gain or reward can raise their spirit score by one level for the rest of the session, up to 2 PCs at once who meet this condition.
Hmm.
The Tale of Love. PCs who are in love gain 1 point of armor for the rest of the session, up to 2 PCs at once. The Tale of the Heart. Hand out 5 chips to each player. If one of the players roleplays in a way that moves someone's heart, that person may give them one of their chips. Each chip thus received can be exchanged by the receiver at any time for a fumble point.
Hmm.
This fumble point can be used immediately.
Huh. I like that idea with the types of characters that we have.
Are we choosing between those 3? Or those?
No, that's the ones I could potentially cast. But I think I'm probably going to use the Tale of Kindness more often than not.
Which one was that again?
That's when you help others expecting no gain or reward. You can raise your spirit score by 1 level for the session.
It's going to take a while for Pico to use that one.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we need to talk about. Oh, we talked about villages in town where you guys are from. Where do you guys think logically you all meet up at to start our next session, our next season? Okay, so let's just recap really quick everybody's characters. We have John playing Musashi, a noble attack type who is a Shiba Inu, black and white markings from Dragon Song.
Mm-hmm.
We have Brandon, who is a cat thief, technical type, a calico, and doesn't know where he's really from, but travels around a lot trying to figure out where he is from to recover memories. Then we have Kristen, who is a journalist, minstrel, magic type named Ulfred, who is a wolf and is traveling to gather stories for their zines, essentially, that they leave at Rhapsody Roads, and specifically is looking for drama, you know, what is hurting people, how to help people out. And then we've got Francis, who is, we don't have a class for you yet, but it's probably going to be something hardy, like farmer-esque, but without raising animals.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not ranger, but something in that.
I could see ranger.
Yeah, something like that.
There's definitely some stuff in the hunter that I thought
would work.
Fits.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't really like heart, but whatever. We can talk about it later.
So you're playing Francis, who is a young boar man, 10, 12 years old.
When I was a young warthog.
Oh boy. He is a sweet, strong boy, and he is out to prove his worth as the boar ambassador.
Yep.
Born in spring, and is actually probably from, we don't really know, because they're migrating, nomadic, yeah. Whatever. But probably staying in the forest area.
I would think, yeah.
Yeah. Kristen's Ulfred is from the northeast, out in the cold north.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you guys' characters.
One last note on mine is that part of his memory loss for Pico is that he doesn't know what kind of person he was. So that his personality is basically a blank slate for him.
Gotcha.
So. Except for the Sundar.
I can see that. Yeah. Like being very insecure and...
Yeah. I feel like there was a character in something recently that was like that. Maybe I was thinking of Knights of the Old Republic.
You should always be thinking of Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay, so where do you guys think that all of your characters, it could be from a place that we already know or potentially a new place that we can make up right now?
That's like somewhere up north. Yeah,
I think it probably makes sense to be in the northeastern area. Yeah. Just because that's where Ulfred is from, and if you guys are going to be wanting to travel, it sounds like Ulfred is wanting to go to the lighthouse.
That's what he's curious.
Because there's an interesting ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The rumors about the ghosts and what's up with that.
I like the idea of coming up with a new city in that region.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I would agree.
Let's do it.
And like a major hub, kind of like maybe not as big as Dragon Song, but along that line.
Like maybe like kind of like Silvertop, essentially. Yeah. Like another, because like Silvertop is like the next step down from Dragon Song, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's on the other edge of the Great Forest, so it makes sense that there's nothing really between those cities. It's like the next big hub area.
All right, so let's make a city. So we're going to say it's probably like a medium, it is a city. Mm-hmm. What is its like main like export? Mm. Like what's that city known for? Mm. And then we can probably come up with the names later.
Would lumber be too on the nose? Just like too
I mean,
generic?
You could do lumber and like fur trade.
Okay.
That's a good one, yeah. I was already thinking about the difference between like Ottawa and Toronto, so.
A lot of animals wearing other animals' fur.
Ulfred is literally wearing a sheepskin.
Oh, God.
I like it.
Lumber and fur trade.
Is it Nimwisp?
Yeah,
I don't know if he could catch him.
We already had a town that had the forge, so it makes sense that there would be a lumber town.
Big carpenter's guild.
Recurring businesses aren't a bad idea anyways. I mean, it's not like there's only one 7-Eleven in Indiana, and you have to go some other place to find another one.
There's only one Marathon in the whole damn state.
People come from all across the county.
To get their big gulps.
And tornadoes. Carpenter's Guild, there's obviously going to be a Rhapsody Roads.
Yeah.
Avi.
We're thinking of any names.
How about Timbercliff?
That's cute.
And it's like all the trees are at the top of this cliff and the town is at the bottom of the cliff and they have pulley system where they bring the trees down into the Carpenter's Guild to work.
Mm. It's terrifying. I love it.
Yeah, that is horrifying.
God forbid that there's an avalanche.
But yeah, I was about to say, hopefully climate change isn't a problem on this continent.
Not yet.
As we deforest the land, destabilizing the soil.
This is how things have been done since the day I was born here in Timbercliff, from what I remember.
Why would have Timbercliff been like a reason for Ulfred to be there? Because going down, maybe there's something, he caught wind of some story there, and he wants to drop off zines there. And maybe it's where you, sweet boy, I want to say Francois so bad. Francis.
You could say Francois.
Came out of the woods, and this is like the first town you found, potentially.
Yeah.
And you've been in there for a bit. What about the Calico Cat?
Pico's easy, because it's just, he can be anywhere.
Okay.
It's just a matter of, this is a hub area, so this would be a place
to check out. Could be good trash here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a lot of people, a lot of garbage pails.
And Mr., you're from Dragon Song, originally.
So Dragon Song is on the very
top. Down there. Yeah. So you went northeast.
We are level 4 right now, right? So I imagine he's been doing this for a little while now. Mm-hmm. Not too long, but a little while.
Right.
I imagine what he does is, because when he first started off, he had no idea where he should start. Mm-hmm. Someone was like, hey, why don't you used to be a bodyguard, right? Well, you can be a bodyguard for like traveling groups. And they're like, and that way you can...
Oh.
You know, and it's like,
so
two birds with one stone. He's like, oh, I can still do a job that I'm good at while also achieving my master's final wishes. So I think the last caravan that he guarded or whatever he was a part of went up that direction.
And they were.
And so that's how he ended up there. Maybe that's like, this is his first time there, too.
Maybe you went from Stormbrook to take Nimwisp Wool to Timbercliff.
There you go.
Like some merchants were traveling and then you came to Timbercliff. Now, my next question for all of you is, do you guys want to start off knowing each other and working together? Or do you want to just go in cold, like I just set it up where you all meet each other?
It could work either way for Ulfred.
Okay.
Because, like, that's his whole thing, is making connections. And
I could see Francis latching on to the first adult that shows him kindness.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So.
I feel like that would probably be Pico for some reason. Like, here's this child that...
He's a hulking monster child.
Well, no, but, like, you know,
I think Pico,
I could trust him.
I think Pico would need to be set up. I think he would have a hard time joining up with a party. I think there would be need to be some reason... Kind of like how evil characters get together. Like, there's that. I need the rest of my party.
You need a reason.
Yeah.
What would attract you to this group of ragamuffins?
Probably strength. Pico is scrawny.
And tiny.
And really out of his element in Timbercliff. So he would be looking for, you know, strong boy, you know, sword master, Musashi. I mean,
basically, everybody here is a lumberjack and just, like, ripped.
I'm a big, slender wolf.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that the main, like villagers that are staying here are like
Jack, bro.
No, they're just burly.
You see me lift that tree?
Just burly
Canadians.
Canadians. Yeah, I'll have to bring out that accent.
And I think in relation to Pico, it's common in this world for people to go out of cities in packs and traveling together because journeys, that's the thing.
Sure.
So it's probably him realizing like safety in numbers. This is the best way of traveling. So he'll probably reluctantly meet up with
people. On a scale of 1 to 10, when Pico was by himself, how likely is he to get in trouble on his own?
Like an 8 or 9.
8 or 9?
Yeah.
Because I want to think, like, you joining our party snowballs. Like, for example, like, I get to the town, and then one day you, whatever it is Pico does, gets in trouble, whatever scenario you can think of. I think Musashi would have stumbled upon that by accident, like, just by chance one day. You tried to, like, I don't know, steal your lunch from something. And it's like, oh, no! And then whatever, I help you, and then you just... Through that little encounter, it just becomes this weird, you know, like two guys just end up meeting and becoming pals.
I've got this. So basically, if you guys are okay with me when I do the first session, do the setup for you, it'll basically be, here's what I have in my mind, is we'll start the session off probably with Pico doing something. We'll end up having you probably seeing it. Eventually, you'll get to an area where these two are at. Because I have something in my head where it's like, everything's going to happen at Rhapsody Roads, essentially.
I got an idea.
Because even though he's helpful, Musashi is looking for others to start traveling with. I feel like because you're traveling and getting these stories, I think I'd be like, can I offer my services to you?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking
for. And you probably wouldn't be afraid of a wolf as a dog.
No, I wouldn't be.
And Pico would be. And Pico would feel more comfortable
with
Musashi. And I could see that, like, maybe Pico was just digging in garbage cans.
Right.
He gets caught. And you're the first person that has not, like, tried to chase Pico away from something.
Right.
Like, you've actually stopped and were, like, compassionate.
Yeah.
I could see that.
And then I think because Borman is new... Eventually, somebody's gonna be like, "Oh, sweet man, boy,
sweet boy.
You should go to Rhapsody Roads if you're interested in learning more about stuff." And then you'll get directed to that place where I'm assuming you're leaving a tract behind or something, and then just watching people and like getting the news. And then these two will show up essentially, and then you can form your group there. Does that sound about right?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. I like doing that before we do an actual session one because it always feels so awkward when you go into like the first game. You're like,
yeah, it helped in Book of Spring to just go ahead and have that already in place.
Like you guys were already talking with each other outside of, and then this girl goes, "Hey, can I help? I need your help. Are you guys leaving town? Are you blah, 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 blah?" And so I think this will be, but this will be more character driven where there's not going to be somebody telling you what to do.
I like that.
Okay. Because it seems like Ulfred is the one who has the, like, driving, like, I'm looking for stories and I think this place is interesting and I'm going out that way. And if you want to see the world and you want to know more about the world and understand people, this is how it's going to happen. And you, Pico, you need to get your act together.
Yeah, I think Pico would probably see the lighthouse and be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where it all is.
Totally not.
Maybe I can see my history if I go up top.
Yeah,
it's tall, so I can see far.
Yeah. It's like space.
Awesome. All right. I think that gives me a lot of stuff to work with. So we'll start off session one. We'll probably be after Christmas, probably about the beginning of the new year, which will give you guys some time to marinate about your characters a little bit more and do any prep or put your actual characters together.
Yeah.
You guys can message me and talk to me about it, what you're thinking. We can do all that offline via email or text. And I'm so excited for Book of Summer, especially with my
It's funny that it's summer and we chose the coldest place
to start. Yeah. Well, you guys want to go on a beach trip. Yeah, there's going to be a watermelon festival, fireworks, and all sorts of fun festivals. Festivals. Okay, on that note, we're done.
Good
session
night.
Zero.
Woo.
Thanks and bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Go do the laundry.
Do your laundry.
Now that your dishes are done.
Yeah,
the dishes are done, do the laundry.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. As you may know,
We're streaming Book of Summer live on Geekspective's Twitch channel every other Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Come watch us play the game live and get to see the actual artwork and handouts I've made, and of course, our cool faces. If you've been enjoying Shapeshift, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Sharing what you like about this show and talking about it with others is also super helpful and appreciated. Another way to help me and the show out is by becoming a patron of Geekspective's Patreon. That's patreon.com/Geekspective. I'll be releasing a series of blog posts from my Book of Spring prep, as well as tidbits of Book of Summer prep as we go. Shapeshift is a member of the Geekspective Network. There's a lot of other shows you can find me on at geekspective.com. There's Red Mage, Blue Mage, if you like Magic the Gathering, Party Like It's the Greatest Year in Film, if you enjoy movie discussions, and of course, Tales from Oxfairy. You can get information about the Geekspective shows by either following the Geekspective Twitter, that's at Geekspective, or going to the website at geekspective.com. And you can find me on Twitter either at RocketOrca or at ShapeshiftCast. This episode was edited by Rudy Basso. You can find him on Twitter at Rudy Basso. That's RudyBasso. Thanks, Rudy.